I would invite you to take a Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 6 as we read verses 22 through 27. Extremely familiar passage. You may not think so until you begin to read it or hear it. In fact, a lot of folks in my particular vocation use it very often and don't read it at all. But Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Everybody makes a dream this time of year. From now on, it's gonna be good for you. All your friends and family gather round in peace and harmony. It's a time to remember your blessings. It's a time to remember your goals. All the people in your life, be they new friends or old. And it could be the time of your life. Everything's gonna turn out all right. It'll be okay in every way, making it better. It's New Year's Day.
Carole King does it much better. But if you get the Christmas album entitled, very cheesily, A Christmas Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, that's the last song on that Christmas CD, which just came out this year. That's the first verse of that particular song entitled It's New Year's Day. And it sums up the hopes, the wishes of many persons whenever New Year's begins. We hope for better things. We wish for peace and harmony. We dream of blessings. Blessings for us, and blessings in particular for those about whom we care. Friends and family. And sometimes we do reflect on past things so that we at least learn from them and see perhaps from where we have come in hopes of new dreams for the future. I'm not going to punish you by singing verse 2, but verse 2 begins, "And should old acquaintance be forgot, keep everything they gave you. And though they may seem so far away, you walk with them each and every day." And I know sometimes the road isn't easy, and we've said something we'd never wished to say. Once a few rounds you've loved and lost, you pick yourself up and take a chance again. And it could be the time of your life. Everything's going to be all right. It'll be okay in every way, making it better. It's New Year's Day. In other words, a new beginning, even when sometimes we remember things that we might have done or said that we wish we had never done or said. And while it is appropriate to look back, and at this time of the year, the last week of December and the first week of January, the news outlets certainly overkill those end-of-year lists and all those kinds of things. But though it is a time to look back, it is also a time to make plans for the future. A time to make plans hoping that it will all be better, right? Is that not for the thing for which we hope and pray, is that the new year will be a better year? I don't know of too many people who wish that it would be worse. We look to ourselves and we look to others to make life better. And that's a part of our hopes and dreams. Not just for a new year, but should be a part of our hopes and our dreams for each new day. Even though we know that at some point we will find disappointment along the way. Sometimes we bring it upon ourselves, and sometimes it seems to be foisted upon us. We will find disappointments. And some days we'll find more disappointment than blessing. But the key here is to look, even in the disappointing times, for the blessing to come. And we do have a role to play. A role to play in whether or not our hopes come to any fruition whatsoever. God has desires for us. God has wishes for us. Sometimes we call it God's will. But if we believe that God gives us choice, we also have a part to play. And I think it's a very sad thing when we refuse and we're the reason. Bless you. We're the reason that those blessings and dreams don't come true because we refuse to listen. We must decide which course we will take. And we must partner with and allow God to guide us if there will be peace and harmony. And so, some weeks ago, as I was reading various scripture passages and this passage was read, I thought, you know, that's really a pretty good blessing for New Year's. So with this new year in mind, I want us to look a little bit at this passage and reflect upon the hopes and the dreams, the blessings and the best intentions with which we might live in 2013. Now the book Numbers, as we call it, actually in the Hebrew text has the title In the Wilderness. In the wilderness. And it records the uncertainty that the Hebrews faced in the wilderness as they wandered in and out over that 40-year period, predominantly from an oasis near Kadesh Barnea. They knew the disappointments of unfulfilled hopes and dreams. They had had an opportunity after just a few months to enter the promised land, but because of decisions that they made not to follow God's leading, they ended up wandering. Wandering in the wilderness for a generation. And so they knew of unfulfilled hopes and dreams of blessing. Year after year after year. Some of the problems stemmed from their leaders who couldn't get along. Who couldn't get along among themselves and who couldn't get along with the general populace of the nation of Israel. Some of the problems and disappointments and dashed hopes and dreams showed a lack of commitment to God. A lack of deep commitment. And because of that lack of commitment, the people were not able to find those fulfilled hopes and dreams. Moses here is receiving various instructions. In fact, just before this particular part of the passage, Moses has received instructions about those who would take Nazirite vows. The Nazirite vows, among which were eat nothing unclean, no strong drink, don't cut your hair. It's the early version of the hippies. Don't cut your hair. And don't go near dead bodies. In fact, in some times in Israel's history, Nazirite priests were forbidden to even look upon a corpse. Not necessarily to touch it, but you couldn't even look on it. These Nazarites were set apart for various services to God. Some of them were Nazarite warriors. If you could imagine, I think we've mentioned before, if you could imagine training and growing to be 30, 40, 50 years old as a Nazarite warrior and you've never cut your hair or your beard, I'd hate to be the enemy on the other side when these things that look like Cousin It from the Adams family come rushing out screaming with weapons in hand. Samson was actually a Nazarite, and he eventually broke all four of those vows. The last one, the cutting of his hair. But the instructions for those who were to be set apart, those Nazarites, and the commitment that it would take, Moses has just received. He also has received other instructions about how to lead the people. Instructions about how to commit the people and how the leaders were to commit themselves to God. But how everyone was to have that commitment of sacrifice, of offering themselves to God. And then we find this priestly blessing. After God gives these instructions about the commitment of folks and the commitment of Nazarites and the vows that take place, he then says to Moses, "Now tell Aaron and his sons," Aaron was the chief priest at that point in time, "and his sons, as well as others out of the tribe of Levi, were priests, to bless the people." And the people were to be blessed for particular reasons. And with this particular blessing, the greatest reason was that they might remember that blessing comes from God, and therefore commitment is to God first. These verses are regularly, if not almost always, used in synagogues and churches as a what? Starts with a B. At the end of the service, we have a... Thank you. A benediction. Yes. Generally, this is when these are done. I have been counseling with a couple whose wedding I'm doing in a couple of months. And this is what they want for their blessing at the end. But they called it... she said, "We want that benediction that we always sing at the end of our worship service." I said, "Okay, which benediction is that?" And he's thinking of the tune. "The Lord bless you and keep you." I said, "Ah, yeah, Numbers 6:23-26. A benediction, an ending of the worship service. And that is appropriate use at the end of the service. However, it struck me recently that such a blessing is given as worshipers begin their journey from the place of worship into the world, not knowing what is out there that they might face. Yes, it is given at the end of the service of worship, or the worship service, but it's given at the beginning of the service of worship as you leave to head out into the world. And so it is with New Year's. Every time we face a new year, we're heading into a time with its uncertainty which awaits. We don't know everything that's out there. Lloyd Bailey, in a commentary on the book of Numbers, notes, "This blessing, pronounced as people are about to begin their journey, sums up God's ultimate will and goal for Israel. Life in all aspects, social, economic, psychological, and spiritual, to the full potential." End of quote. This blessing sums up what God wills for us. Life in every aspect lived to the full potential. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. This New Year's blessing acknowledges that blessing does not come automatically, though, because God is free to determine what is done. Literally, all of these, when we say the Lord's face or His countenance be lifted up upon you, or all of these phrases literally in the Hebrew begin, may the Lord. It expresses a hope that God will do this. It doesn't mean that God has to. But part of that New Year's blessing is a hope that God might do this for us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. A hope of God continuing to be gracious, continuing to be merciful, continuing to guide. It is a plea to God. It is a plea to God, as well as a reminder for us. And so it would really begin, may the Lord bless you and keep you. To bless signified any divine gift that was given, which serves the life and the well-being of the person. A gift from God which helps us to live life to the full potential. I don't mean grab for all the gusto you can, as the commercial said. But I mean living life in those areas to our full potential as children of God and as fellow human beings, fellow believers especially. Although we have to admit, initially, the Hebrews thought of it as material blessing. More money, more land, more crops. And while we certainly need some of those things in order to provide for families and even for those who are beyond our families, it also is a call that the Lord would give us spiritual blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Specifically, this looks to God to protect us, to keep us from all forms of evil, all bad things, even those forms of evil that we might bring upon ourselves. May the Lord bless you and keep you from evil. In later rabbinic discussions, the rabbis proposed also, and I quote, "This also means keep your soul in the hour of death and keep you in the world to come." End of quote. It was a recognition, as it was interpreted, not just to cover physical life, but to cover life forever, even beyond the physical realm. It is a plea and a hopeful assurance that God keeps and guards those who follow Him, those who are God's children. After all, regardless of all the guns and bombs and everything else we might have, regardless of the security systems that we might have on homes, CPI, identify yourself, or anything else, ultimate security doesn't rest in us, does it? Ultimate security rests in God. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, as opposed to hiding His face. Sometimes in the Scriptures, God hides His face to keep us from being overwhelmed, but sometimes the Scriptures, particularly in the Hebrew Scriptures, speak of God hiding His face because of God's displeasure at our sins. And yet, we also find this the Lord make His face to shine upon you, as opposed to hiding. It's a benevolent position of God toward His faithful children, to bring light rather than darkness into our lives. And may He be gracious. Not only asking God to be gracious to us and keep us in His graciousness, But this is so that we might come to live grace-filled lives. Which, quite frankly, I don't know about you, but it's difficult to live a grace-filled life without God's grace. At least for me. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. That signifies a positive movement. To lift up His face in your direction, His countenance, is a positive movement. We are asking God to do positive things toward us, but also subsequently through us and with us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, that His Spirit might be impressed upon us. Not just be impressing, but it be impressed upon us so that it presses us to do because of God's gracious Spirit. And grant you peace. We try to have peace, and the peace that's spoken of here and, quite frankly, throughout the biblical text is not being peaceful because we're away from all strife. In order to do that, we'd have to be hermits, sitting in the woods or in a cave or on top of a mountain freezing. No. It's more than the absence of conflict. It is wholeness and fullness of life, heart, and mind. A spirit of peace within, even when everything around us may seem to be a chaotic sea. And quite frankly, it's my conviction that we can only experience that kind of peace by being in harmony with God. Such a blessing was seen by the Hebrews. And here in the passage, such a blessing was seen to put the name of God or the stamp of God upon the people. In other words, it identified them as God's children. Specifically those who accept God's guidance and God's blessing, who realize that only God can truly bless fully, and who, as a part of that recognition, are willing to share that blessing of God within their lives with others who are in need. As the song with which I began speaks of dreams, peace and harmony, blessings, and making it better, it's New Year's Day. The priestly blessing in Numbers 6 is our New Year's blessing for 2013. Not just for New Year's Day, or as one of those many short-lived resolutions. I mentioned Wednesday night that studies say 78% of the people who make resolutions will break them very shortly after making them. But rather, it's a daily blessing of hope, peace and harmony, even in the uncertainties of the day. Lloyd Bailey writes, and I quote, "Hope for the future is centered upon God's presence in the midst of the people. And therein lies the importance of maintaining a sense of that presence through obedience to the regulations that have been and are being revealed." End of quote. It's not just hope because of God's presence in the midst of chaos, but rather maintaining a sense of that presence by reading, by studying, by worshiping, and by living in obedience to the regulations that God has given and continues to give to us. It is an expression of hope. It is a pledge on our part to remember our identity as God's people in the days ahead, in the weeks, even the years, and with God. Perhaps we might be able to sing,
in every way making it better. In every new day.
May we pray? Lord, we do ask for your blessing. We do ask for your graciousness. We ask that you would lift up your countenance in a positive way toward us, not just so that we might be blessed, but so that even as we face uncertainties in this new year, we might be a blessing because of what you do as we allow you to work together with us and through us. May this blessing truly be an inspiration for the days ahead, for the glory of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment and decision is 343. Unless we sing all the verses, you probably don't even need to open your hymnal for most of it. Amazing Grace. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. But I hope at least the altar of your heart will be open. Hymn number 343, Amazing Grace.